As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to You Irons, the West Ham podcast from the good people at The Athletic with me, Sam Delaney, and The Athletic's West Ham correspondent, Rashane Thomas. How you doing, Rashane?
I'm all good. Yourself?
I'm all right, thanks. As I've just mentioned to you, a bit of context to the listener, I'm round at my mother-in-law's. I've had to quickly get round here to record this because the roofers are in over at mine and there was radios playing, all sorts of bawdy chat. Some of it. So, profanities were being used. It was a lot of noise, mate, and I thought it won't do. So, but I can't miss an episode of You Irons, so I've rushed round here to my mother-in-law's to get this emergency pod recorded.
Loving the dedication, Pablo. Absolutely loving it.
Yeah, it's good. Sunday, 3-3 against Arsenal. What a roller coaster ride!
They take the free kick. Oh! It's another goal. Bowen. Squeezed it in. Antonio. Lingard. Oh! Jesse Lingard. Back in Premier League action. Pepe showing can use his right foot. And there it is from Lacazette. Arsenal have pulled it back. 3-0 down. It's 3-3 in the London Stadium.
A game that was very atypical in West Ham season so far. It didn't fit in to what usually happens, which either we play quite defensively and just don't really make an effort to try and score much and then we're just disappointed and lose, or we're pretty bloody good. And one thing that I never expect is that we're going to concede 3 goals in any game, let alone one where we've gone 3-0 up. I mean, what did you make of this?
I'm still in shock, to be honest. I'm still in shock by that collapse. So when West Ham went 3-0 up in, 32 minutes, I was thinking, bloody hell, what on earth is going on here? What did the players have for their breakfast? Because this is incredible. I was thinking, this could be 4-0, 5-0, maybe even a 6-0. This is what I was thinking, because we were creating so many chances, looking so good. And as soon as Arsenal scored, I was thinking, oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. There's a song on TikTok that goes, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. Young people are not talking about. And that's what I thought of. I thought of that because I was thinking, we were sitting back. We kept inviting West Ham, sorry, not West Ham, Arsenal, onto us thinking, oh, here we go again. We basically become Tottenham. Tottenham. Because remember that match in October, we were like, we basically become Tottenham. So, yeah.
We said, I mean, you know, there was people saying that was a Spursy performance. And it was. And the thing is, you know, my cousin, who is staunch Arsenal, texted me when we went 3 up and said, this could be 10. And I didn't disagree with him. I thought we were playing well, but I thought they just didn't look at the races. It was one of those. I thought, we're doing well. But also, it was to our advantage that Arsenal looked half asleep. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be fantastic. The 3 points are in the bag. Your mind almost starts wandering a bit. You're not so focused on the game because you're too comfortable. But what's interesting is, you say that they scored the goal. They came back to 3-1. And in the past, I would have always thought, even at 3-0, old West Ham, pre-Moyes West Ham, I would have thought, 3-0 means nothing. We'll still lose 4-3. But this season, I think we are so hard to score against, so hard to play against. I thought, this is perfect for us to sit back and defend the lead. This is what we love to do. This is what Moyes trains them to do day in, day out, keep their shape and just be resilient and annoying to play against. And yet, despite the fact we know all of that, when they scored their first goal, there was something in my mind too, where I thought, yeah, they're going to come back here. But I think it was just to do with the way Arsenal just suddenly seemed to wake up. That even the build-up to that goal, there was a sharpness to them. Like they'd all kind of made a decision that they weren't going to let this stand. And this is quite a strange thing for me to say, because usually I'm a very sore loser and I don't have much praise for other teams. But I've got to say, a draw was a fair result. I came away from it thinking, I mean, I must be getting old because I can't believe I'm saying stuff like this. But I thought, it was a really enjoyable game to watch, right? There was so much attacking play from both teams. There were so many moments of excitement. And the point was fair, because in the second half, I don't think West Ham played particularly badly. I thought Arsenal just really wouldn't let up and were just, they weren't going to accept defeat. And it was quite impressive.
Yeah. And obviously, we conceded at the worst time, just before obviously half-time. You're thinking, oh no, Arsenal are going to regroup. They're going to come out and be like, come on, guys, like, what enough are you playing? Like, let's wake up. And in my piece, I sort of said, you know, like in boxing, right? You put your opponent down on the canvas like three times and you're thinking, why are you getting up? Like, I thought it's a job. What on earth is going on? And I thought like that was West Ham against Arsenal. They thought they finished a job and for whatever reason, they were unable to hold on. And you know what? As I think about it now, it was sort of coming, because if you think about that 2-1 win against Tottenham, in that last 20 minutes,
yeah,
the amount of pressure, like, we had to, like, sustain that match and had to hold on and get the win. And we're sort of fortunate to get the win with, like, Bell hitting the crossbar, Son coming close to scoring, and we just about won. You're sort of thinking, it's going to come again.
And what about United? We were saying that in the defeat to United, we said, you know, they should have won by more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Fabianski played a blinder. They it looked like they nicked it, but they were by far the better side in that game. So clearly we are struggling to be as resilient as we were earlier in the season. Now, what I think about that is that there is a really clear correlation between us being a nightmare to play against and suddenly being more vulnerable. And that is Ogbonna getting injured.
Ogbonna,
I think we both said for most seasons he's our hammer of the season. I think that still stands now, even though he's missed quite a few games. But that guy was having the best season he's ever had in a West Ham shirt by a mile. And it wasn't just the fact that he personally seemed to always be the guy who was shutting down those shots. Like, you sort of feel, I don't think Lacazette would have got that first shot in. I don't think he would have got that header at the far post to equalise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think, but it wasn't just that. The fact is, he's a real leader and he marshalled that defence. Whether we were playing in a 4 or a 3, you could see him being vocal and he was so integral to it. And, you know, now we're seeing even Virgil van Dawson's form starting to dip a little bit. And that's the worry. I don't know when Ogbonna's coming back. And I don't know whether Balbuena should be thinking now that he deserves a chance. And I don't know whether you think that maybe we would have been better off with a 5 at the back again against Arsenal. Certainly, I'm interested to know your thoughts about why it was that Callum Chambers, who was man of the match, basically all 3 of their goals came from down that side, our left side, their right side.
Yep.
How was that allowed to happen, mate?
I know, all good points. First, I'll say with Ogbonna, I'm always optimistic he'll be back before the end of the season. So that's good news for West Ham. And as you touched on, Craig Dawson scoring 2 goals in the space of 2 on-goals, rather, in the space of a week. Just absolutely crazy. And for me, that collapse the second half doesn't happen if Ogbonna's in the team. It doesn't happen at all.
Correct.
So that's my opinion on that. But Balbuena, it's a tough one right now because his agent has come out and said all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, for example, right for now, he's not really a West Ham player moving forward. He's sort of looking to move abroad. So Moyes will perhaps look at him and think, I'd rather play someone who's more committed, someone who wants to be here for the long term. So that's my thoughts on Balbuena. In terms of Arsenal just exploiting our weakness on the left flank, it's a tough one because I saw people saying, oh, bring on Ben Johnson, but he's been a bit shaky over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Been a bit shaky. So you could bring him on, and I'm not opinion, it wouldn't really change things as to how poor Benchers has been playing. So I can see why he brought on Ryan Fredericks, but it just goes to show moving forward, we need sort of more options on the left. And as you touched on Ogbonna, another one, Masuaku. Dafa could do with someone like him on the left flank. He's definitely improved the defensive receiver season. So I can sort of see why our fans were a bit annoyed of Moyes not bringing on Ben Johnson and going to a back five. But on the flip side of things, I can see why I sort of think Ben Johnson's been struggling with form. You know what I mean? If he has another bad game, but that's his form.
But how was Chambers getting that space? When we could see that every time he had time and space on the ball, he was every cross he was sending in was causing problems. So I would have thought that our coaching team would see that. And it might not have been Johnson, but certainly some sort of adjustment, whether it's to double up on him. I can't quite work it out. I mean, you tend to see the game, like, you know, more clearly than I do tactically, I think. But, like, was it Cresswell not getting out to shut that down? Or was it Benrahma, who should have been operating on the left, whose job it should have been to shut it down? Yeah. If it was Benrahma, I would have been, because Moyes doesn't seem to have a huge amount of patience with Benrahma, I would have thought that, you know, he would have brought Benrahma off for someone else sooner than he did.
I feel so sorry for Cresswell, because the own goal that Dawson scored, obviously Benrahma could have done a lot better in terms of tracking back, but he's drawn towards a Saka, and when he sees Chambers, he's like, what on earth do I do? Do I go towards Saka or do I go towards Chambers? Mm. And obviously when Chambers gets the ball, but first of all, no way with that a free kick for Arsenal. It definitely
I forgot to mention that.
No way.
Madness.
That, absolute joke. John Moss, what on earth are you playing at? Absolute joke. But it's happening. We've got to move on. But yeah, so when Chambers gets the ball, he's in acres of space because Cresswell's just thinking, what on earth do I do? So that highlights sort of, I guess, the argument that Benrahma could do a lot better on the defensive end. But again, it also highlights the lack of squad depth. You haven't got an obvious replacement that can come on and sort of shore things up on the left. You got, you know, two goalkeepers that are not gonna play. You got a young Mipo Debeco who hasn't played the first team games since that match against Man United. So it also highlights, you know, how you know, I haven't got much alternatives on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, listeners. Sorry to interrupt your show, but we've got a small favor to ask. We're currently doing a bit of a survey to find out more about you, your podcast listening habits, and the sort of adverts that are most relevant to you. If you feel like helping, please head to surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. That's pretty catchy, so I'll say it one more time. surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. Thank you.
Our first team was a really bloody good first team, but we're paying the price perhaps for not investing in a little bit more depth in January. I still think, you know, Moyes is thinking that even if he finishes eighth, it will be a success, which it will be, you know. In fact, whatever he does now is a success. And you think he can get through the season without winning anything or without qualifying for Europe and then spend his money more wisely in the summer. And as long as we do well next season and we do build a stronger squad, then I think it'll be, you know, in the end, it'll be vindicated for that decision. But at the moment, you're thinking, like, say, God almighty, we could just have done with, you know, like the sort of player like we had when Snodgrass was still with us. You know, those kind of players who you know are going to come on and do a really solid job. I mean, you know, I'd half forgotten about Snodgrass, but he's exactly the sort of player you could do with now just on the bench because you know he can play in such a variety of positions, you know.
and how dangerous Snodgrass is on set pieces. Mm. You know, stuff like that's also to consider. And for sure, we definitely could do just someone else to provide us a bit of a, just an alternative, really, from the bench, bringing the same old players. You know, they're going to have the similar results, not going to change the game much or have much of an impact. So for sure, and I also thought if West Ham failed to finish the top four, it'll be just these fine margins. So
well, in the second half,
Antonio should have scored that, in my opinion, that chance. That I know he was outstretched, but you've got to score that, in my opinion. Those are the fine margins where that's the difference between a top four or Europa League or not qualifying for Europe. for all that matter. So yeah, it'll be small marks, by margin, my West Ham will miss out, unfortunately.
I wondered even before that miss, I wondered whether Antonio looked at his sharpest, because I felt that, you know, he didn't have a bad, I don't really see him at bad games anymore, because he's always making an effort. But there was almost something just about his demeanor. Like, I can tell when Antonio's going to have a good game and score, because he's got this brilliant sort of energy about him where he's smiling, he's laughing. One of the things I like about him is that even when there's like aggro with another player at a corner or something like that, he is always laughing, right? And he kind of is taking the piss out of the other bloke for getting all uptight about it. He's got a great personality like that. But on Sunday, every time I saw him, you know, off the ball, reacting to things, he just looked like he wasn't his usual self. And I there was always like not even half a yard, just like maybe an eighth of a yard slightly off in certain circumstances. The ball wasn't sticking to him as well as it often does when we were getting it up front. And you can tell with him, you know, he is so much about his physicality, his game, that if it's a bit off, it makes a big difference. And I felt that even, like you say, with that miss, really, because of his speed, you know, if it was a fully fit Antonio, I think he would have got there just an inch sooner, if you know what I mean, and got it over the line. Mm. So, yeah, I just think there's question marks about that. And I think that, we don't have any options at all, really. You know, we've four nails out as well. So at first we were like, let's give Yarmolenko a go. Now, that didn't really work, but we didn't even have that option anymore, you know. And then the only other game where we've played without Antonio, Bowen sort of operated up there, but he was supported by Benrahma, Lingard, and I think maybe even Fornal started in that game as well. So they all started together. I can't remember what that game was. It might have been Sheffield United, but it was really good. Yep. We played really well. But now Fornal is out as well. So really, you know, if Antonio's injured, we've got serious problems.
That's the one injury I'll probably dread the most, Antonio, because as you mentioned, there's not an obvious replacement for him. Mipo De Becker will promise a young player, but listen, he's 18. We can't expect him to be a world beater right now. As you touched on, Bowen as an option, potentially Suchek. So you're thinking, like, just got to pray his hamstrings hold up between now and the end of the season, because we really need him. And his second week running, in my opinion, where he sort of struggled in a match against Man United, he struggled to get a bit of Harry Maguire, who pretty much won all the aerial battles, and struggled again against Arsenal's defence. And I could see from the press box he's getting annoyed at John Moss, you know, swearing a few times. I was wondering if that also throwing him off this game, because thinking like, what on earth? I'm not getting decisions here. I'm struggling to get the better of like David Luiz and what have you. Like, what on earth is going on? Mm. And I was wondering if that was also a factor behind it too.
John Moss had a poor game, didn't he? I mean, not being funny, but the state of the bloke, you just sort of think, he can't keep up. The bloke can't keep up. He made some absolutely baffling decisions, I felt. I mean, we can't blame the ref, really, although you were right, it was no way a free kick to Arsenal. I mean, no one understands what that decision was for. Like, no one in the whole ground. I think he'd just lost his mob. I think even he didn't know, right? But you can't really blame him. Arsenal came back, and it was one of those ones where it's a bit fair and square. They came back fair and square. Point was fair. But it was like it was more of an annoying. It wasn't like catastrophic, but it was like throughout the game, I felt like he was making poor decisions. Arsenal were getting too many of them in their favour. It was irritating. He's not a ref that I like. I like it when I don't notice a ref, to be honest.
Yeah, Vettel to be the best one. And you know what, right? David Moyes, oh my goodness, he was getting so annoyed. I forgot what free kick it was, but He literally ran onto the pitch and said, no way is that a free kick. No way. And everyone in the press box started laughing. And then a few times, or like when John Moss will give a like a decision in West Ham's favour, the bench would be like, yay. So it was funny seeing that, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, because usually, isn't it Nolan's job to give loads of stick to the officials?
It is. And Nolan had it. He was just annoyed. He had enough. He was thinking, what on earth is going on here? Like, and everyone could see it, thinking, like, we're not getting decisions going like for us. And it's like, it's not even once you think, oh, I can see why John Musk gave it. It's like, no way is that a free kick. What are you thinking?
So, yeah.
Definitely frustrating, pal. Definitely.
Frustrating. Really, really frustrating. However, let's look on the bright side of the performance. We came out of the United game and I felt, oh, really gutted, because I felt we had just missed the trick. I felt it was just poor tactics, poor team selection. It was just, I thought, is this it now? We kind of, have we lost the buzz that we had? I got to say that this game has restored my confidence in West Ham. The way, you know, I don't care how off the pace Arsenal started. You know, you don't go 3-0 up against Arsenal if you're a poor team. We looked really dynamic. And even in the second half where people, in retrospect, if you look at the match reviews, a lot of the match reviews said, well, you know, Arsenal totally dominated the second half. And I was like, well, hang on a minute. West Ham had, I mean, off the top of my head, you think, obviously the biggest chance was the Antonio miss, which we mentioned. There was another one where I think, was it Lingard and Benrahma sort of got through. And then one of my favourite moments of a game that had so many moments of drama, it's hard to recall them all. But one of my favourite moments was Declan Rice's spectacular run the length of the field. And his shot stung the palms of Leno. Leno couldn't hold that shot, you know. And people were sort of, and the commentators sort of chuckled a bit, like, oh, blimey, he went all the way there. And I'm thinking, lads, that's why Declan Rice is the greatest midfielder in the country. You know, that it was sensational. So there was moments like I thought, these players, you know, it was two great teams slugging it out. And you're right, it was very much like a great sort of heavyweight boxing bout, because you had two teams just proper going for it.
Yeah.
And so I think I come away encouraged, and I come away thinking, I came away from the United game thinking, well, I don't know, Arsenal's form are improving. I'm a bit nervous about this game. And I was delighted by the way we approached the game. And, you know, and I think we'd all rather see that than just a sort of a damp squib 1-0 defeat like the one against Arsenal, or like the one against Man U when we haven't even tried. Yeah. I now look ahead to Wolves with a certain amount of confidence, you know?
I agree. And when I saw the lineup and saw like Benrahma, Bowen, Lingard and Tony, I thought, hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. Good one, Moyes. Good one. Because this is a nice attacking team and it should do well. And obviously we saw it in the first half an hour. And I think it could be like this, right? The first half was the new West Ham. Second half was the old West Ham.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest takeaway from it all. And I feel like, if you remember last season, remember that Brighton game? We were 3-0 up.
Yeah.
And we came back and it's 3-3. So I just feel like lessons still need to be learned from that. We still got to be more, just be more ruthless in terms of like closing out games between now and the end of the season. But that Wolverhampton game, I'm confident for that match. Wolverhampton can't score right now. They have Fabio Silva, 30 million, not doing particularly great. Obviously, Raul Jimenez is still out. So we should have gone to a match full out. Listen, it's unfortunate what happened against Arsenal, but we still got a point. We could still go on a good run and hopefully put four. Right? There's no reason why West Ham can't be confident for that match.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Let's look at our upcoming fixtures between now and the end of the season to work out, because we're really at a sort of a crossroads now. A few weeks ago, I think we were both in a lot more confident about what's possible. And I think now it could go either way. I mean, I can see us potentially just ending up finishing mid-table. You could easily, it's very tight. We could easily end up finishing 10th, which would be, at the beginning of the season, we had taken it. Now it seemed like a huge disappointment. Or still possible we could finish 4th. it's really hard to read. A lot of it depends on our injuries and what happens between now and then injury wise. But let's look, you know, on the squad we've got available to us today. Let's look at these games. We've both said we're confident about Wolves. Yep. I will, you know, I don't expect us to win, but I'm fairly confident we can get a result up there. Then we've got Leicester, who, of course, we thrashed earlier in the season, but Leicester have really hit a very good run of form at the moment, haven't they?
They have. I'd imagine for that match, Harvey Barnes and James Maddison could be back for that as well. So that's more attacking threat for Leicester. I cannot be a draw, just about a draw for...
Do you think Moyes will approach that in a similar way to the way he approached Man U and Liverpool?
I think for that match, yes, for the simple fact that Masuaku could be back to full fitness.
Right.
So that's an option we could have on the left, because Masuaku played against Leicester City. Masuaku and Andre Almelenko played against Leicester City for under-23s last Friday. And listen, they'll play 75, they're okay, but obviously still lacking match sharpness. So that's three and a bit weeks for them for that match. So I reckon Masuaku could be back to full fitness by that game.
Oh, that's exciting. I didn't know about that. Yeah, that could be great. And then I feel much more enthusiastic about us playing 3-5-2 with Masuaku in the squad. Then we got Newcastle, really struggling badly. You would hope that we could get something, 3 points out of that, even up at their place.
Yep.
Massive game against Chelsea. Chelsea have improved a huge amount since they changed manager. On paper, obviously, they've got a much stronger squad than ours. But I don't know. That feels like such a big game. I could imagine us. I've got a feeling we can get something out of that, mate.
I do, but on paper right now, that'll probably be the biggest game of the season. Because let's say, right, Chelsea are still unbeaten at that point. Oh, wow. I think the only thing that could perhaps work in West Ham's favour for that match, Chelsea will still be in... Champions League, I'd imagine, by that point.
Yeah.
So they could have one eye on Champions League and sort of, you know, be focused on that and not really prioritise that match against West Ham or the league for around that time. So that could work in West Ham's favour for that match, but that's going to be a tight one. It really will be a tight one.
Fancy our chances against Burnley and Everton and Brighton. That could be a crucial run of games there, because on our form right now, which has been up and down, but I think I would be confident against Burnley and Everton. I thought we deserved our win up at Goodison Park. I think Everton are very inconsistent, aren't they?
For sure. They've been a bit hit and miss so far. One week they look good, the next week you're thinking, what on earth are you guys doing to that team? So I definitely agree with that. And obviously we're talking about the other games, but if you really think about it, Sam, our fixtures aren't that bad.
They're not.
They're really not that bad. Between
now not and now. Team. Not now. I mean, you know, now what's left? We've got City, United, Arsenal out of the way. The tough ones are Chelsea and Leicester, aren't they? They're all tough, but the others, I think, are all winnable.
For sure. We've shown we can beat Burnley. We've shown we can get a good result against Everton, West Brom, you know, Southampton, for example. Like, these games we've won already this season. And I can't see why we can't do a repeat in the following games.
Irritatingly, Brighton are our bogey team. We never seem to get a result against Brighton. This season, I thought they were there for the taking when we played them over Christmas. But it was a game in which Moyes made one of his occasional really weird team selections, where it was the first game that Dawson came in, which seemed very strange at the time. And he also played Noble. And I felt we should have definitely beaten Brighton, really, in that game. If we played it with a proper attacking lineup, I think we would have beaten them 3-0. Let's hope we don't make the same mistake this time.
It's the match where he played Noble as a number 10.
Yeah.
And he took him off at half time. Him and Bolt off at half time.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable performance that was. But yeah, you look at it and you think, yeah, those last four, five games.
Yeah.
The thing is, if we went on a good run in those last five games, and don't forget, a lot of these teams are going to have nothing to play for. Like, I would assume Burnley and Brighton will probably be safe, and Southampton. West Brom, I reckon, will be down. Everton might be fighting for a European place, but like I say, I reckon if we're at it, we'll have the better of Everton. Yep. So you think, even irrespective of what happens against Leicester and Chelsea, even if we lose those games, if we win our last five, then you're in a very, very good position, aren't you?
For sure, very good. And that's why I still feel like there's a good chance West Ham can finish in top four. Worst case scenario, top six. Worst case scenario, because of the games coming up and the fact that the teams we have are coming, we've beaten the majority of them. So that's why, and obviously players coming back like Agbonlahor, Masuaku and what have you, Fornals as well. So yeah, I'm optimistic, Paul. I really am.
Yeah, no, when you say it like that, when you think about the players coming back as well, where we'll have Fornals, Masuaku, Bonner, you're right. Get those lads back. As long as we avoid any crucial injuries to the likes of Antonio Rice or Suchet, yeah. Then, yeah. And as long as, you know, Moyes keeps their spirits up, which we've got no reason to think he won't, then I think there are big reasons to be cheerful. We won't talk about it now, but before the end of the season, if it does look like it's getting serious, a position in Europe, we will have to talk about how disastrous that might be for West Ham. There's a lot of chat, isn't there? Like, oh, well, West Ham just won't be able to handle it if we get into Europe. But and that may well be true, especially if it's the Europa League. But I really don't care. I haven't sat through so much suffering for years to then worry about us qualifying for Europe.
Everyone thinks we'll do an Ipswich and just struggle the following season.
But of course, if you get into Champions League, you can spend a bit of money because you know you're guaranteed, no matter what happens, a big, big payday, aren't you? Yeah. Europa League's the nightmare. Because you can't sort of gamble with so much money, and you've just got to be basically spend half your year on an aeroplane going to weird places.
Well, you know what? I'd rather have this dilemma than just about stay up. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Which is where we would usually be this time last year. Well, the football was about to end, I think, but we were, we were only talking about whether or not we could avoid relegation. So it's incredible how far we've come. Absolutely incredible. Anyway, what have you got coming up for us to read this week, mate?
So for all club writers, I have to write a piece on their cult heroes for their club.
Cool.
And tomorrow my piece will be on Ludo.
Nice.
Ludo. And he shared an absolutely funny story. I won't reveal it. You know, you have to read it in the piece, but an absolutely funny story.
Oh, you spoke to Ludo, did you?
Yeah, I spoke to Ludo for your piece. And yeah, he was great. Spoke well on Thomas Suchek, and I was happy for his progress.
Yeah, he must be delighted to have two Czech stars in the team at the moment. Such a big affiliation. Like, I've sort of forgotten, but yeah, I mean, if you factor him in as well, there's such a big affiliation between Czech Republic and West Ham now, isn't there?
Yeah, him, like previous people like Thomas Repka as well. So yeah, for sure. So yeah, great. So yeah, he's really good. Third piece, which should be on Friday, I believe. Just a piece, in my opinion, on why Declan is the future England captain. So I think that'll create a lot of talking points. So that would be good. But just before we wrap up, Sam, I want to say, I was at the FAU Cup game last night between Norwich and West Ham, the under-18s. And oh my goodness, West Ham won 5-0.
Wow.
And there's some good players coming through, Sam.
Really?
There are some good players coming through. The team was very strong. There was Jamal Baptiste, Meepo, there was Kai Corbett. Some really good players are coming through. The one, obviously, we all know about Meepo, but Kai Corbett, striker, he played so good. Unplayable at times. There's a Sonny Perkins. He was really good. Also caught my eye. So, yeah, like there's some good. And the good thing about it is Mark Noble was there. Here you have a chilly afternoon in Norwich, and then you have Mark Noble taking time to be scheduled to watch on 18s.
That's fantastic.
I thought it was really good. So yeah, definitely special praise for the under 18s for a great performance against Norwich.
Really exciting. Really excited to hopefully see some more young players come through next season into the first team. Brilliant stuff. Cheers, Rashane. Thanks everyone for listening as always. Onwards and upwards. Hope we've given you reasons to be optimistic.
Hold on, Sam. Yeah. We need an update. What happened on Chip Day Part 2? Any update?
Chip Day Part 2, my wife did it, mate. Because we take it in turns, yeah, on the old cooking duty. And this week, I actually was busy with work. I'm not making excuses, but it was. But do you know what? The family admitted that they were very relieved that it was my wife's turn for chip night, because they thought that I wouldn't be able to take the emotional strain of 2 weeks, right? Effectively two defeats running is just too much. So I think there's an international break. I will regroup. I will reflect. I will regain my fitness, and I will be back for the next chip night. And I'm confident that I'll be able to get some points on the board, mate.
I expect a man of the match performance for the next chip night, Sam.
I'll keep you posted. All right. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for listening. Until next time, come on your irons. And remember, ladies and gents, there's only one. Samasiabu!
The Athletic.